Hey, Misfits. I'm your host, Melinda. Thank you for joining Mystery Loves Company. Now hold on to your butts as we go on another mysterious adventure. Let's see what today has in store for us. Hey, Misfits. Melinda here. So today's topic is on black-eyed children. And the reason we are doing this episode on black-eyed children is because I was researching something completely different, totally different, and I stumbled upon black-eyed children, which piqued my interest because I had never heard of a black-eyed child, and I knew nothing about them. And so then I fell down the deep, dark rabbit hole of black-eyed kids. Let me tell you, creepy-ass rabbit hole. So then I started researching and researching and researching, and I found all of these stories and all of this information, and I was just like, man, this story needs to be told. I will be reading some stories that people who have actually encountered black-eyed children have experienced. I have found that this subject has a lot of controversy behind it. People have so many ideas of what these black-eyed children might be. But the one thing that everyone agrees on is do not give them what they want. And so, needless to say, we're not doing the episode that I was researching in the first place because this one piqued my interest way more. And so this is the one that is being told. And then I ended up making a post on TikTok about it, and it blew up, so it seems like lots of people are actually interested in this, and lots of people don't even know about this. So let's have fun with today's episode and get a little spooked out. So I just want to preface all of this with a little short story of my own. While I was doing my research, and let me tell you, this was like creepy, creepy, creepy research, and it was spooking me pretty hardcore. And so while I'm in the middle of it, it's late at night. All of a sudden, my dog runs to the door and starts snarling and like angry barking. And I would just like to say that anytime someone pulls onto my street, my dog will annoyingly bark his ass off. So I go look and see that a neighbor has turned onto our street. He will usually quiet down as, you know, when I walk up there and I look. But this time it's not an annoying bark. He has this certain bark that will actually scare me. And so instead of irritating me, he scared me, so I ran to the door, and I looked out the window next to the door, and there's nothing. But he's still upset and snarling, and he was so upset that he ended up choking himself, which was kind of funny, but still a little freaky. So after about 45 seconds of this, he then hacks and coughs, because he's old, and he has exerted a ton of energy, and then he flops on the floor. I have no idea what freaked him out, but it was super shitty timing because, you know, late night creepy research and sleep. So, needless to say, when I went to bed, I was unnerved a little bit, but nothing happened, just so you all know. No black-eyed children came to my house that I'm aware of. I think my dog was probably just feeling the anxiety that I was feeling as I was doing my research, and maybe a cat ran by or something. I have no idea. But enough about that. So it is said that the first report on black-eyed children was from 1996. But in doing this research, I've seen reports from the 40s and 50s. So I think this one from 1996 is like the main report where somebody actually went on record about it. And so just a couple of things that I have found out about these black-eyed children who are scary as shit. They cannot enter your home or your vehicle without your permission. So I guess similar to vampires, we'll say. They have pale, pasty skin that has like an odd texture about it, black eyes, and not just like big pupils, but like the whole eye is black. There's no white, and they're completely empty. And they speak in a cold, monotone voice, and they cannot respond to questions correctly. When they knock on your door, it is slow, methodical knocks instead of childlike knocks. So it's like knock, 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 which would be creepy all on its own. And some people actually report an odor when they are faced with them. So I have come up with a couple more facts about the black-eyed children. So this one is, black-eyed kids will look like normal human children between the ages of 6 and 16, with pale skin and completely black eyes. Additionally, people who have been in close proximity to black-eyed kids report a feeling of unease that washed over them. While nothing about the children's appearance, aside from their eyes, genuinely frightened the people, they still report feelings ranging from anxiety to terror at their presence. Some people have also reported seeing black-eyed kids that have talons for feet or other demonic attributes, but most sightings are of seemingly normal children. Black-eyed kids are also commonly described as wearing dated clothing or dressing in a manner that is not typical for a normal child of their age. Black-eyed children always ask for something. It is always something that involves being in close quarters with you. They will ask for a ride in your car or to enter your home to use the phone. There are reported stories saying that if you give them what they want, you will be haunted for the rest of your life, or you will all of a sudden start experiencing major medical issues, or your electronics will malfunction, or your power will go out, and a feeling of fear remains within you for the rest of your life. The earliest sighting of black-eyed kids was a journalist, Brian Bethel, in 1996. Now, earlier I told you they're saying that the first reporting was 1996, but there have been some in the 40s and 50s. Pretty sure this is like the first documented encounter with a black-eyed kid. So the story has been added to the internet's creepypasta lore, but to this day, Bethel insists that the incident was real and happened just the way he reported it. In 2014, a British paper reported that sightings of black-eyed kids around the world are rising. And a couple theories about the black-eyed kids are that they are vampires, aliens, of demonic origin, or an omen. I am sure there are many, many other theories out there, but these are the ones that I came across in the research that I was doing. Some of these stories that I read were terrifying. And not only was I reading stories, but I was listening to different stories, and I was listening to some other podcasts that have done stories on the black-eyed children. And let me tell you, literally, these kids terrify me, and I really hope I never encounter one. So, without further ado, let's get into the storytelling. In the 1950s, there was a young man that lived down a dirt road with his parents. One day, while he was walking down this dirt road, he saw a young boy about 8 to 10 years old leaning against a fence post. This was a small community, and he knew everyone in town, but he did not recognize this kid. He decided to walk up to this young boy and ask if he needed help. The boy just stood there, completely still, with his head down. Then he said, with no emotion, "I want to go to your house. Take me to your house." Once the small boy said this, instant chills ran up the young man's spine, and as he went to respond to the boy looked up at him with solid black eyes. When the young man sees his eyes, his blood ran cold. The only thing he could think is, how fast can I run home? As if the black-eyed child was reading his thoughts, he says, "Don't you run away." As soon as he said that, the young man took off down the road, running as fast as he possibly could. As he ran, he hears the unmistakable scream of a bobcat coming from the boy. Once the young man got home, he burst through the door, screaming to his parents about what he had just encountered. They immediately believed that he had met the devil and brought their son to a preacher. It is believed that demons can take on any shape, even that of a human, but there will always be at least one characteristic that is slightly off. In this case, the demon looked just like a normal small boy, except for the black eyes. In January 2016, a woman in Vermont made the tragic mistake of letting two black-eyed children into her home. A blizzard was raging outside when she heard a faint knock on her front door. A boy and a girl stood there shivering, begging to use her phone. Unnerved by their presence, the woman nevertheless let them in and went to retrieve her phone. After the children walked into the light of the family room, the woman realized their eyes were completely black. As she stared at them in horror, her husband's nose began to bleed at the same time that the power suddenly went out. After what felt like an eternity, the children spoke in unison, saying their parents had arrived. The woman watched as the two quietly left her house and entered a nondescript black car with a man in a suit. Not long after the strange encounter, the woman's husband was diagnosed with severe skin cancer. The woman began to suffer from regular nosebleeds and an onslaught of other medical issues. She is convinced that her failing health, along with her husband's, is the result of the black-eyed children she unwittingly let into her home. In 2010, a man known as Noetic encountered two black-eyed teenagers outside of his place of work. It was an ordinary July night in Ohio, and Noetic was in the middle of a night shift. Craving a cigarette, Noetic stepped outside the building and noticed two teenage boys across the street. As he smoked, he realized that the boys were staring at him. Weary, Noetic returned to the safety of his cubicle and tried to refocus on his work, only to see through the security cameras that the boys had appeared in front of his building, motioning for him to come outside. Fed up, Noetic went to the door, contemplating whether or not he should call the police. As if they had read his mind, the boys insisted that such action was unnecessary. As they needed to use the phone, Noetic refused. He watched in horror as one of the boys continued to stare up at the security camera while the other ventured around back of the building, watching the cameras as though they could see what Noetic was doing. With frayed nerves, Noetic contacted the police, watching the teenagers on the video feed the entire time. When the officer arrived on the scene, he could not locate the teenagers anywhere, despite the fact that Noetic never tore his eyes away from the video feed. A young mother was driving home with her 10-year-old son in the back seat. The mother stops in at a gas station and leaves her son in the car for just a few minutes. She returns to the car and puts the bag in the back seat without even looking. As she pulls out of the gas station, she looks in the rearview mirror and screams bloody murder as a young boy with a calm expression and completely black eyes is sitting next to her son, staring at her through the mirror. She slams on the brakes, jumps out of the car, and somehow manages to grab her son out of the back seat and runs as fast as she can into the store. When she came inside, the clerk said she was completely hysterical and couldn't even explain what she had seen. All she could say was, "In the back of my car," in the back of my car. So the clerk ran outside to check out her car. The doors were open, but there was nobody else around. She called her husband, and he came down to the store, still not fully being able to explain what had happened. Her husband decided to drive her car, and the mom and the young boy take her husband's car. At this time, the woman had asked her son about the other little boy, and he said the other little boy had asked if he could come into the car. And the boy thought, hey, maybe we can go back to the house and play. So he gave permission for the boy to come in. What's crazy, though, is on the way home, the dad, who was driving the mom's car, gets in a nasty car accident. He had completely blacked out and suffered a concussion with some scrapes and bruises. Right before the wreck, he remembered being completely overwhelmed with a horrible odor. Shortly after the accident, the son fell ill. His parents had to take him to the hospital. Once in the hospital, he kept getting different diagnoses. He was diagnosed with appendicitis, the measles, and the flu. Once the parents brought him home, and their friends and family did a prayer circle around the boy, the routine continued until the boy recovered. One October day, a man was walking up to his front door when he realized that his neighbor hadn't set out his typical array of Halloween decorations. He spotted his neighbor and asked about it. The neighbor informed him that a terrifying experience from the year prior deterred him from participating in Halloween that year. It was around midnight, the neighbor recounted, when he heard a knock on his door. Thinking it was a band of late-night trick-or-treaters, the man grabbed the bowl of candy and shuffled to the door. He swung the door open and was about to greet the two male teens when his body became rigid with fear. Both boys had pitch-black eyes, void of anything white around their irises. One of the boys asked to come in and use the phone. Luckily, as he was so overwhelmed with dread, the man refused. One evening, a recluse living in British Columbia decided to see a scary flick at the local movie theater. Already on edge because of the film, he leapt from his chair when he heard a knock on his door later that night. With each step he took toward the door, the man felt a sense of dread flood down his spine. Nevertheless, something compelled him to open the door. Standing on the front porch was a beautiful teenage girl. The man guessed she was around 6 feet tall, and she had beautiful blonde hair. "May I enter the premises?" the girl asked, looking up at the man with solid black eyes. Horrified by what he saw, the man screamed and slammed the door in her face. He marched to his bedroom, pulled out a gun, and sat in a chair in the corner until morning. Hours later, the man went to retrieve his mail. The black-eyed teen was nowhere to be found, but the word "soon" was etched into his front door. On November 19th, 1992, a man was watching Evil Dead while his wife and children were sound asleep in their rooms upstairs. It was 1:30 a.m. when he decided to head to bed after the movie was over. Suddenly, there was a loud pounding on his front door, and what stood behind the door would change his life forever. There stood a boy and a girl, 8 and 11 respectively, who never looked up and were standing barefoot in the Michigan winter. Despite his anger, the man allowed the children to enter and allowed them to phone their parents. But when he went to lend them the phone, they were gone. In the dead silence, he heard the first scream coming from one of the rooms upstairs. When the man reached his wife's room, he was met by the devastating sight of his wife in a pool of blood and terrifying sounds of bones snapping and flesh ripping, and saw the bare feet of the children he had just let into his home. Before he could act, the barefoot children moved swiftly to his kids' room and locked the door. Despite the man's best efforts, he could not help his children and stood helpless behind the door. When the act was done, the door slowly creaked open, and there stood the barefoot children covered in blood. They stood defiantly with awful grins and eyes completely black like the devil himself. In October 2012, a woman was up late watching a movie with her cat when it suddenly leapt off her lap. The woman was left stunned as she followed her cat into the laundry room, but the cat refused to leave from its spot between the machines. Suddenly, the woman heard knocks on her front door and figured it was late-night trick-or-treaters. When she opened the door, the woman was met by two children, a boy and a girl. However, there was something strange about the children, who just stood there looking into her house, not wearing costumes or holding any buckets. The boy suddenly asked the woman if her cat had left, which arose concern in the woman. Then the girl whispered to the woman, "We need to get inside." The boy was staring at her and grinning. Feeling fearful, she noticed that their eyes were completely black. The woman shut the door and called the police. The police only found footprints that led into the forest behind the woman's home. It wasn't until months later that the woman found a makeshift bed in her gardening shed. It almost felt like a dream. I woke up to my dog Lucy barking. She was upright on the bed where my husband and I were sleeping with our 22-month-old daughter. Staring at our door, like an unknown stranger was out there rummaging around. I thought she was just freaking out over a house noise. We'd only had her for 3 months and she was still a puppy. It could have been anything, our roommate, a creak from the house settling, the awnings moving outside in the breeze. I wasn't too concerned initially. I decided the best bet would be to open the door and show her nothing was there. It sounds silly, but it's what we do with our daughter when she gets scared, and I figured it should work with a puppy too. I opened the door, and she raced to the front door. She stood there snarling at the door. It was an angry, violent growl, one I had never heard her make before. I looked groggily at her and opened the baby gate blocking the doorway, planning to open the door and show her everything was okay. The second my hand reached for the deadbolt, Lucy went wild. She started barking and jumped toward me. And when I touched the metal, she suddenly changed her temper. She whimpered, almost like she was afraid, and backing down. As her mannerism changed, so did mine. I wasn't calm anymore. My heart was racing and sinking at the same time. I had been flooded with a mixture of fear and dread. I looked through the peephole. I can't explain why I looked, but I did. Outside were two kids. One was just a smidgen shorter than me and didn't look much younger. I'm 21, and she looked to be around 16 or 17. She was slender and pale. Her hair was a light shade of honey blonde, and she wore it long, about mid-back, with long, thin, blunt bangs in the front that covered most of her eyes. She wore jeans, a light wash that's popular right now, and a thin-looking olive-colored pullover-style hoodie. She held the hand of a small girl who looked to be around 3 or 4 in the same style of jeans and a button-down ivory cardigan. The smaller one looked at the floor shyly, but had the same shade of hair tied back in a ponytail. She held a stuffed toy under her free arm, and it was identical to the one my daughter has, as was their style of dress. Had it not been for the feeling of overwhelming dread and fear, I probably would have asked these children in and given them some tea or hot chocolate to get them out of the bitter cold. Something about them seemed off. At this point, I hadn't made any noise. I hadn't shushed the dog or grumbled, nothing. I hadn't turned on any lights. These kids had no indicators I was at the door. The older one spoke. She had a voice that was mature, confident, strong, and accentless. She held her head tilted downward, and I couldn't see her eyes. She said, "We have to use your phone." I stood frozen in fear. How did she know I was there? She raised her head to face me directly, and that's when I saw her eyes. There was a reason I couldn't see them through her bangs before. They were black, or midnight blue, or a dark, dark purple. They were otherworldly. She said, "Our mother is worried." As someone who has always been interested in creepy stories, I knew what she was the second she looked at me through the door. I have never been one to believe in these things. As a staunch atheist and skeptic, when it comes to paranormal, I had written off many a ghost story from friends and family members eager to tell their tale. I didn't believe it. Still, I couldn't rationalize my way out of this. I was standing with nothing but a thin wooden door between me and a black-eyed kid. There was no questioning what was right in front of me. I did not answer her. Slowly and silently, I backed away from the door, Lucy still cowering at my ankles. She kept talking. "Just let us in to use your phone." I took another step back, and with that step, the tone changed. At first, she seemed polite. When I took that second step back, she became commanding, almost hostile. "We're not going to hurt you. If we wanted to do that, we would have broken in. I'll ask again. May we come in and use your phone?" Lucy snarled at the door, and I inched backward, though something inside me seemed to be slowly pulling me back toward the door. It wasn't a physical pulling so much as a subconscious need to go back and let them in. I got to my room, covered up the window, locked the door, and sat there in the dim light of the nightlight. I heard her call me back to the door once more, and then quiet. I didn't go back to sleep that night, and I haven't slept right since. I know from reading about the black-eyed kids. I know from reading about them that black-eyed kids can't just come in without permission. I know they haven't hurt anyone, but I still fear I'll be the exception. When I told my story to my husband, he said it was just a dream. He keeps telling me to forget it, but this lingering feeling of sadness, this dread when the house is silent at night, this fear of a knock at the door, this tells me otherwise. Last night was like any other night. I was switching between listening to music and watching YouTube videos with one headphone in so I could hear my infant daughter if she cries. That way, my wife can get a full night's sleep. She works at 4 a.m. at the hospital every day. When I decide to go lay down in the spare bed in the baby's room, just as I dozed off, I heard a thumping coming from the front porch. Startled at first, I opened my eyes wide and scanned the room. Realizing it was most likely my cat scratching himself on the front porch, I dozed back off. Then again the thumping. Damn cat! I got out of bed to run him off the porch, only to see he wasn't there anymore. Now that I was up again, I wasn't the least bit tired. I figured I'd get some tea and check Facebook while I'm up. Maybe finish the web series that I was watching on YouTube. A few minutes into the video, I felt the sudden urge to look up at the kitchen window. There they were, the tops of two short-statured people's heads cresting the stairs just above my window frame. The people were just short enough to not see in the window, but I could see out. I heard no footsteps on my porch as my stomach turned, but the knock. The knock was a steady, hollow thump, the very same thump I had just blamed on my cat. Deciding it was best not to answer, I shut my laptop and crept by the back door to the baby's room. I assumed it was some of the people from the low-income housing across the road from me that were high or hiding from cops or maybe looking for my cousin who stays with me often and has many friends over there. The last thing I needed was to try to explain to two stoners that I was trying to sleep, even though it was 2 a.m. It wasn't until I got to my daughter's room that the creepiness set in. The thump had moved from the kitchen to the bedroom windows. Both windows, a room apart, thumping in perfect time. These stoners were going to wake up my daughter if I didn't run them off now. Pissed off, I went to the kitchen, unlocked and opened the door, ready to run around to the side of the house and kick some little idiot's ass. It happened then. Standing there looking up at me were two 10 or 11 year old boys. The feeling of dread and the smell of mold almost made me vomit. The smaller of the two then spoke. May we use your telegraph? Huh? I just stared blankly at these boys, horrified of what I then realized. Their eyes were pitch black. He asked again to use my telegraph. There wasn't a sound to be heard. No crickets chirping, no dogs barking, no cars driving by, nothing. I tried to play it cool and ignore the fact that he didn't say telephone or phone or cell, anything that would have made any sense of the situation, and calmly replied, "I don't have service at my house, sorry." The expressions on their faces turned to rage as I finished my sentence. Swiftly, I shut the door and locked it as quickly as I could, then stumbled back to protect my daughter. I picked her up from the crib and held her close. The fact that she didn't wake up freaked me out the most, but I managed to gather my senses enough to make sure she was still breathing and warm. Everything seemed okay with her. The thumping on the windows was back. I dropped to the floor, as close to the wall as I could, and held my little girl in my arms and wept like a child. I felt helpless and afraid. I lied there for what felt like hours and hours, crying and shaking until I heard it. My wife's alarm clock. The thumping stopped the instant the alarm went off, and I crept into the master bedroom with the baby. "What's wrong with you?" my wife asked. "I just had a bad dream," is all I could mutter out. "Okay, well, give me the baby so I can feed her before work." I handed my wife the baby, and she fed her like any normal day. I turned on every light in the house and made coffee for her. For some reason, just having her awake calmed my nerves enough to pretend like nothing happened. I walked her out to the car nervously, with the baby in my arms. I asked her not to leave until I walked back in the house. She was put off by the request, but did so to humor me. Once I was safely in the house, I locked the door again, and in the house, I sat horrified until she got home. I insisted we both go to the next town over and stay the weekend at my brother's house. And here I sit, horrified, while she sleeps in the guest room with my daughter, wondering why they stopped when the alarm went off. I think I know the answer. I was aware of black-eyed kids. She wasn't. Every story I've read about them is from somebody who already knew about them. Maybe, just maybe, knowledge of them existing is the only reason they visit. I am afraid, and I am sorry. It was 1 a.m, and I was a little late on walking my dog, Dakota. She's a 3-year-old German Shepherd and very tame for a big dog. Not in my entire time having her have I seen her run up to anyone. She gets very nervous around strangers. I live very close to a large park that leads into a hiking trail. There's a large area that used to be a baseball field and a big entrance into the wilderness surrounded by the trees and darkness. Here is where I let Dakota off the leash and follow behind her as she sniffs around trying to find a spot to do her thing. This night was different, though. As soon as I take off her leash, she jolts into high speed toward the trail opening. I know many of you are judging me for letting a dog off its leash, and trust me, I know I shouldn't do it, but it's one of those things you just don't tell people you do, like littering or U-turns. Plus, this was completely out of character for her. And all I could think was, if she goes in there and doesn't come back, I don't think I can go after her. I was not about to get lost in a pitch black darkness on a freezing cold night to get eaten by some mountain lions. I'd wait for her and probably call my roommate and tell him I'd be taking longer. But she didn't go in. She was about 8 feet from the entrance when I see a tall, dark figure calmly walk out of the darkness. Anyone else would have probably freaked the fuck out right there. Some creep walking out of the woods at this hour? Hell no. But I'm in pretty good shape. I'm 6'5", and if anything, people are usually more scared of me than I am of them. Plus, the random weirdo isn't rare in LA, even if it is the middle-class, good suburban neighborhood. So I call for Dakota, but she doesn't move. I have never seen a dog literally follow someone with their gaze, never breaking contact. It just didn't make sense. That was where the uneasiness first kicked in, but it wasn't anything serious. It was just really strange. I started jogging toward her when I noticed it's a girl, about 17 to 20 years old, around 5'9". And from what I could see, she was stunning. Long legs, beautiful body, short dark hair almost reaching her shoulders in a tousled, sexy kind of way. Her long, messy bangs framing her face as she stopped walking to look at Dakota for a second. Couldn't make out her face, really, but I didn't see a death pale girl in a white dress floating like your stereotypical dead girl. I saw a stunning girl in skin-tight dark jeans, boots, a dark leather jacket, and from what I could tell, she had a light complexion, but by no means did she look like a ghost. My first thought was maybe if we talk, I can get her number. But then I remembered this girl had just walked out of the hiking trail in the middle of the night. I start thinking about a documentary of female serial killers I saw once, but even if she was a crazy person, I still have no idea how she could just walk around up there when the darkness was so thick. I doubt you could see 1 foot in front of you. Even though there was something really off about all of this, when I saw her stop to look at Dakota again, I lightly said to her, "Don't worry, she's harmless." To which she completely ignores me and continues walking. I think, okay, I didn't expect someone who walks around the woods in the middle of the night to keep a conversation going. I put Dakota's leash on, but she doesn't budge. All she does is take a couple steps toward the girl, then stops whenever the girl looks back at her. "I think she likes you," I say, to which again the girl just looks at Dakota. All of this felt really weird, almost like a dream, like a light feeling and that silence that sounds almost like you're underwater. No matter how much I tried to act cool, this was not normal. So here I am, trying to get my paralyzed dog to budge while an intimidating, mysterious girl doesn't break eye contact with her. I was stuck between I'm so embarrassed and she's gonna pepper spray me. When she takes one step toward Dakota, my dog has her tail in between her legs and is whimpering like she's seen the devil. That's when I knew I had to go. If anyone knows when something's up, it is a dog. And as soon as this girl is walking again, I pick up my 60-pound dog by the stomach and start speed walking back. I probably looked like a total idiot, but I didn't care. Whatever dreamlike state I was in before had been broken by my dog's attitude. Everything inside of me was telling me, go home. So I'm halfway across the field when I put my dog's leash on and set her down. She doesn't budge again. I think, are you fucking kidding me? I will drag this dog, when I almost threw up as I turned around to see this fucking girl standing on some bleachers not even 10 feet from me. I can see her face now in the light. I shit you not, this girl was beautiful, but her eyes were blacker than black. They filled all her eyeball. It was just two shiny orbs inside of two almond-shaped sockets. She looked completely different from the serious expression I could make out before. I fucking swear I wanted to run, but something made me stay. I felt like I was so scared that I could hear a faint, high-pitched humming in my ears, and my entire body felt heavy. I wanted to run more than anything. I could have thought, oh, a strange chick in Halloween contacts, but I cannot explain the feeling of absolute paralyzing horror I experienced without any rationalization. I didn't have time to. These feelings hit me like a fucking train, and I hope to God I never feel as helpless and mortified as I did then. She was not human. She was not a regular girl. And to make things worse, this girl says in a sultry, sweet tone that I'd expected to sound like something from beyond the grave, "Does she bite?" And still on defense mode, I think I managed to mutter out my idea of a no. I don't know if anyone else knows what I mean when I say I felt as soon as I blinked again, she would be standing right in front of me, but she did. As soon as I finished saying no, she waited a couple seconds before saying, "Do you live nearby?" To which I was going to say no, even though I did, but as soon as I went to speak, she said, "Did you drive here?" And I start walking back, trying to distance myself slowly, and again, before I can speak, she says, "I'm going to need to come with you." "You'll let me come with you. That's okay, right?" "It's okay, don't be afraid." And with that, Dakota fucking books it, and I start running like a scared child, and my dog is right in front of me. I don't stop to catch my breath until I catch up with my dog. We're at the other side of the street, and I take this time to turn around and make sure she isn't following me. She's calmly walking back, already all the way to the other side of the park, where she was before. I called my roommate to meet me halfway with the car on my way back home, and I have never walked my dog after dark again. Thank you, guys. We'll talk again soon. Bye. Thanks for joining, Misfits. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. After all, mystery loves company.